This is the 30-second warning. 30 seconds, S-E-C-O-N-D-S. All right. Thank you very much for the privilege of being here, Pastor Bryant and elders. Let me open with a brief word of prayer. We're going to start a time of prayer today. It's the fifth Sunday. Pastor Bryant will come up and lead us after we have a devotional. And the devotion will be, Lord willing, preparing us for prayer time. So bow with me, if you would, as we pray. Father, thank you for this group, this body that you have built here in this place. Lord Jesus, thank you that you walk among us. For where two or three are gathered in your name, you are in our midst. Lord, what a wonderful, marvelous truth and blessing that is. We ask you today, Lord, for your presence and power to be here, that you would glorify yourself, Lord, in all that's said today. Accomplish your will, Lord. Deliver us from all distractions. Protect us from satanic attack and influence. And Lord, just bless thy word to the hearts of us, your people. For your name's sake, we ask and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to start with a word, and it doesn't matter, a hill of beans that I can somewhat pronounce this Greek word, because we don't even know how they pronounce it anyway, but we know what the English letters that we translate it, transliterate it, sounds like. It is proskartereo, proskartereo. And the root word of that basically is strength, way back down in the core. This is a combination of a couple of words. And the meaning of it, the technical meaning is that to adhere to persist in, to busy oneself with, busily engaged in, or to be devoted to, spend much time with. So basically the bottom line of this is, the meaning is that give your strength to this task, to give your strength to this. And we're going to see this word about three or four times here as we look at this little study this morning. And we're starting off in the at the beginning of the church, the very beginning of the church in Acts 1, verses 12 through 14. And you'll see this word. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. This is after the ascension, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of Simon, the son of James. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. So we see after Christ has left now and gone, they've seen him go up into heaven, we see that the disciples are gathering together and they are basically devoting themselves to prayer. They're in the first part of verse 14, with all with one mind, we're continually devoting themselves to prayer. Continually devoting, that's that word. They were devoting themselves, they were giving themselves, they were giving their strength to praying. I can only imagine what they were praying this time. They didn't have the Holy Spirit indwelling them at this time. But we know the Lord had promised them that they were going to receive the power of the Spirit after he went back to heaven. They would receive power. They knew that. So no doubt they were asking for that promised power. We don't know what else they were praying, but we know they were giving themselves to prayer. So they were devoting themselves to prayer. The very word go, as soon as Christ left, they were devoting themselves to prayer. Then in Acts chapter 2, after Pentecost, and after Peter's sermon, the sermon that God used to save 3,000 people, it says 3,000 souls were added in Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. Let's look there and we'll see this word again. And also notice there were some results that came along with this time of prayer. Acts 2:42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. And they were taking the meal together with gladness and sincerity of heart. And look at the result here, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So we can see here that the disciples, they were continually devoting, the disciples, the saved people in addition to the apostles, continually devoting themselves in verse 42, that same word, to the teaching of the apostles, to fellowship, breaking of bread, the Lord's table, and to prayer. And we see the result of that, that there were many, many, many souls being saved day by day. So we see the activity of the church here during this time. Then we skip on over and we see the word again in chapter 6. This is when they were choosing the deacons, remember? Things were going really well, and yet there were so many people there and different kinds of people now. And anytime you have different kinds of people or any kinds of human being together, there's going to be clashing, right? There's going to be something that has to be worked out for people to get along together because we're all so different, right, and all so sinful. So they had to choose deacons to make sure that the Greek women were being served equally with, I guess, the Jewish ladies or people that had needs. That's it, not exactly how it was, so don't hold me to those. I'm doing this from memory, of course. But Acts 6, 4 through 7, it says, the apostle says, we can't be spending our time serving tables. We don't have time. We have more important things to do. So choose you men to do that. But, verse 4, but we will devote ourselves, and there's that word again, but we will give our strength, our time, we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And then down in verse 7, we see a result of that. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. So because the disciples were giving themselves to the ministry of the word and to prayer, things just kept blossoming and blooming spiritually. People were continuing to be saved. Even priests, the Jewish leaders were becoming obedient to the faith. God was doing a great mighty work here. And prayer was an integral part of that. Yea, probably is the reason God was working in answer to prayer. God is glorified when we pray because we realize our need for Him. When we pray, it shows we have faith. If there's no prayer, it shows we don't have faith. All right, so we see here that they were continually devoting to see that word. And then we have a couple of admonitions that include this same word. In Romans 12:12, it says there, Paul, and this is God's word, an admonition, of course, is a command. It's something that, not a choice. You know, you what? You really should be doing this. When God gives us this through His prophets, we need to obey. Wendell needs to obey. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. There's that word. Constantly, continually, giving our strength to, giving our time to, being busily engaged in prayer. That's what God is telling us to do there through Paul in the book of Romans in 12:12. Another place, Colossians 4, chapter 2. You don't have to turn there. Colossians 4, verse 2 through 4, but just the first part of 2 there. Devote yourselves to prayer. That's an imperative of that word. Devote, give your time, give your strength to prayer. Keeping alert in it, in prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So we're commanded to do this task, to devote ourselves to prayer. Now, the disciples, we see here the wonderful results of these, of the prayers of the people, the saints and the apostles at the beginning of the church. And you and I, there are results that we want to see and that we need to see and be seeking in our prayers. And I just want to read some prayers, just a couple of sentences of prayers here to give us some ideas of some things you and I need to pray for. First, I want to read, we need to be concerned for others. And you can just listen to this and let the Lord speak to you, and you'll see what God is saying here. God had everything written for a purpose. And when he had Paul write and telling us what he was doing, it was because God wanted us to see what Paul was doing, because it's a good idea that you and I probably follow Paul, not probably, but follow Paul's example. He even said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." In the concern for others, this is wonderful. Romans 1, 9 through 10, we need to pray this way. Paul prayed for the Romans. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now at least by the will of God I may succeed in coming to you. Paul constantly was praying for the Romans. And we don't see this word anymore. We've left the word study now, but we're just going to generalities and the needs and how the needs that people were praying for in Scripture. Paul prayed for these people. He constantly prayed for them. Philippians 1, 3, and 4. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. So he was praying for the Philippians all the time. And this is a moving, I want to read this to you. This is moving. This is not Paul. This is not the great apostle Paul here, but this is Epaphras, one of his fellow workers. Listen to what how he gave himself, gave his strength and time to the prayer for the brethren. We're still talking about concern for others. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, send you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. For I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. So we see there a great concern in a brother who was laboring and pouring it all out on behalf of these brothers and sisters in a completely different city. So we need to be concerned for others, and that's a matter of prayer. That's how we can be concerned and help others as in praying for them. And also the effectiveness, the effective preaching of the gospel. In Ephesians 6:18, Paul says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. They're continuing the thought of caring for all the saints, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul was praying for boldness and clarity of the utterance we'd given to him, that he would effectively communicate the gospel. And in Colossians 4, 2 through 4, we see our word again. And it also goes along, we read it up, part of it up in the, up there when we were talking about the admonition, devote yourselves to prayer. But listen to, again, the effective preaching of the gospel is the substance of this prayer. Colossians 4, 2 through 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. So he wanted clarity and opportunity and power in presenting the gospel. And then also, another topic we talked of, concern for others in our prayer, effectiveness of the preaching of the gospel for those who preach, which includes all of us. When you're talking to anybody about the Lord, you're proclaiming. So we're all preachers in that sense, right? So we need to be praying for each other that we'd be effective witnesses for Christ. And then also the spiritual growth of believers. And this passage covers everything we could possibly include. Colossians 1, 3 through 4, just listen as we close here. Colossians 1, 3 through 4, 9 through 12, listen to what Paul prays for the spiritual growth of believers. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. And then verses 9 through 12. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That pretty much covers the gamut of what we should be praying for as spiritual growth, that we would be filled with the knowledge of His will, spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we would walk worthy, would be strengthened with His power, that would be steadfast and patient, that would be joyously giving thanks. All of those things are the result of us having the knowledge of His will and spiritual wisdom and understanding. So we prayed for spiritual growth of believers. And finally, Romans 10:1. I'm sure somebody says, oh, I know exactly what that is. Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them, that is Israel, is for their salvation. So praying for salvation. We would be using our time wisely and pleasing the Lord to give ourselves and our strength to praying for these things. I'll just close with a brief word of prayer, please. Father, help us, give us a desire to pray. Give us a desire for your word. Give us a desire to please you. Revive our hearts, Heavenly Father, and make us a people of prayer for your glory, that you can do the work you want to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Bryant, thank you.